Ready to start?
No, just waiting for you. Whenever you're, it's convenient for you. So just let me know. I had to pick on somebody. So. Good morning. The regular monthly meeting of the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council will now come to order. And I'd love to have Carl Davis lead us in the
Pledge of Allegiance.
Did you forget?
I'm very proud that he does as well. Please place your hand over your right heart or salute if you're a veteran. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Everyone.
Excuse me.
That's the right heart versus the left heart?
You don't have a heart. You're heartless.
Well,
did you get that on tape, though, Eric?
We did.
Yeah, gotta have a heart. Yeah, okay, you're working it. Okay.
See, he's lost it.
All right.
Mute my stuff here.
Yeah, let's just.
Evidently,
somebody irritated Eric because everybody's all over the place. Okay, I mean it's the right heart, the left heart, the no hearts.
See, I'm okay. Confused. I'm on the left side now. Yeah, well, okay. You're on the right side.
Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, some
keeping everybody on their toes.
Ben.
Anyway, I'll leave it go.
Can you send that to me?
Oh yeah.
All right, let's keep going here. We did the pledge. A roll call, sir.
All right. Mr. David
here.
Mr. Hahn
here.
Mr. Lunger
here.
Mr. McDonald
here.
Mr. Munoz. Mr. Rass
here.
And Mr. Stoffer
here.
And Mr. Chairman, we have four.
Thank you. All right. The other two, are they excused? Did someone call and say they couldn't make it?
Mr. Dorn, I haven't heard anything from Mr.
Okay. Did Mario call at all? He didn't say anything? Because I know he's at school. Okay. Well, I'll check and see when I get to, I check my email when I get home. I'll follow up on that. Okay. Our guest speaker.
We have not heard from him, so I assume he's still on his way, but maybe we can continue, and if he does arrive, we can add him back in.
We could table him. Okay. Tabled. All right. We're now into the public comments portion of our meeting. And I'll read the little disclaimer here. This agenda contains a brief description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. To speak on an item, complete a speaker request form, which is right over there, identifying the items and deposit it in the box on the chairman's desk, which is kind of over there. To speak on a matter not on agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council, you may do so during public comments. Let's see. When addressing the council, it is requested that you state your name for the record, address the council as a whole through the chairman, and comments to individual members or staff are not permitted. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. All right, having said all that, first speaker is Mr. Chris Aguilera.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and Council members. It's a pleasure to be here and speak for y'all or speak to y'all. The purpose of me addressing the council today is regarding a legislative update for Assemblywoman Brooke Silva. The time for Governor Newsom to sign bills has elapsed, and so Assemblywoman Brooke Silva had 6 bills signed: AB 133 Property Tax Postponement Program, AB 136 College Admissions Reform, AB 139 Emergency Transitional Housing Act of 2019. AB 143 Shelter Crisis, AB 368 Southern California Veterans Cemetery, and AB 947 Visually Impaired Students, and 2 Assembly Concurrent Resolutions. They are Hangul Day, which is honoring the Korean language, and ACR 87, Pledge for Democracy, and those were also chaptered into law. I have brought 10 of these. If you have questions about the legislation, you're welcome to send me an email, and I'll get them addressed to you as soon as possible. And Assemblywoman Brooke Silva, Supervisor Doug Chafee, and Congressmember Gil Cisneros are teaming up to have a Veterans Barbecue on Veterans Day in the city of Fullerton at Hillcrest Park. So I wanted to make sure the council is aware of this. As soon as I have a flyer, I will get it to the chairperson, and today on Veterans Day, if you're not enjoying with family or otherwise, you're always welcome to come down and say hi. That's all.
Thank you. You do have a time on that, right?
Yes, all that will be on the flyer.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And I'll get it out to the crew.
Get it to Eric. We can make sure that it gets out to the entire council and on the off-back website.
Will do.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Chris, if it's okay, send it to me and to Eric.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Dr. Cynthia Ingram? Ingram? Okay.
Good morning.
How do you pronounce your last name?
Ingram.
Ingram? Okay, yes. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. So I am the Clinic Operations Director of the VA Clinic in Laguna Hills. And thank you.
Love you guys.
Thank you. So my purpose here is to request assistance in attracting younger vets. We have a really large population of older vets, and we're finding that when we do community outreach, we get a lot of the older vets to attend these outreach events, but we're also not seeing any younger vets. And so I don't know how we can we can assist each other in attracting those, maybe putting out the word that younger vets are still eligible to apply for health care services, that there is this thought that if younger vets are in the health care system, that they're taking away from the older vets or vets that really need the help. But that's not how the system works. The more vets we have enrolled, the more money the Long Beach VA system gets in order to serve those vets. So the younger vets may not be as sick, they're healthier, they usually don't use services that often. That money is still there in the budget so that the vets who are sicker and need more services can then also be serviced. So it's kind of a win-win. If younger vets enroll, the money is there for those vets who need more. And then as they get older, they'll have that same opportunity to be helped with the money that younger vets bring into the system. So the VA system, the budget is allotted for new enrollees, and so the budget is allotted each year based on the total enrollment for each healthcare system. So if you have any ideas on how we can let the younger vets know and to come to the clinic, we're in Laguna Hills, and so we usually help or serve South Orange County. We do have some vets that come from Riverside County in the Murrieta, Temecula area, and other than that,
okay, thank you.
You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Oh, sure, you can.
In and out, no problem.
Okay. Well, actually, we're not supposed to, but go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sure. How long does it take from the time they enroll to get to a vesting appointment?
So, at Laguna right now, enrollment takes if they go right up to Long Beach, enrollment is usually done within the first week. If they enroll online, that can take 4 to 6 weeks, sometimes longer. They can also complete an enrollment form, drop it off at the clinic, and then we carry it up to Long Beach, and that usually takes anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks. Then once they are in the system, then it really depends on availability. Right now, we're pretty short-staffed, but as of January 1st, we should be up and fully staffed. We are currently recruiting for a 4th PAC team. We currently have 3 PAC teams. Because enrollment is growing, and so our current providers, primary care, are kind of overloaded, so we are hiring for a complete team.
Okay.
So besides primary care, we have also behavioral health there.
Do y'all need to have a conversation offline?
Yes.
Okay, last reason why I let this go, because I knew there was a connection there. So would you please get with Eric after the meeting? Thank you, because there's some commonalities there, so some comments and stuff that need to be taken care of. Okay, thank you. All right, moving right along, is it Abel Arredondo? Welcome.
Mr. Chairman, council members. My name is Abel Arredondo, and I'm with the Santa Ana College Veterans Health and Power Program. We're a program from the Department of Education. We have a grant over at Santa Ana College where we serve new veterans who are deciding to just enter into college. Our program helps them with all different areas, especially academic preparation. A lot of our veterans, they have been out of the academic environment for 5 or more years, usually. And so they're a little bit rusty. Not that they don't know the material, they're just rusty. So we have tutoring programs, counseling programs, mentoring, mentorships, activities, community involvement. But our focus is on the academic mindset, so that our goal is to make sure that as many veterans can enroll in and complete a post-secondary education towards a bachelor's degree and so forth. We're a small group. We're in the Veterans Resource Center at Santa Ana College. But our research center is pretty big. It's pretty very nice. Some of you have had the opportunity to come down and visit. But otherwise, right now, the most important thing is for the 19-20 academic year is that a priority redistricting starts already November 12th. So we're trying to get the word out to veterans who may benefit from a community college first. Some go straight to a four-year university, but for some other individuals, a community college is a nice start. It's fresh. It's not as complicated. It's easy. It's easy to maneuver and navigate. We have great staff. We're one of the model VRCs in Orange County. So I just want to put the word out there to the members, chairman, and thank you for your time. And I would like to contact the VSO at a later time, and so maybe we can have some time during the staff meeting to speak more in depth about the programs. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyone else to speak to the group? Hearing none, public comments is over. Okay, moving right along. Executive committee reports. I just received something that I emailed to all of you before I left the house. I had an opportunity to get a phone call from Mr. Hugh Crooks, who happens to be the new chairman of the California Veterans Board. And we had a conversation a while back, and I was telling him about, it's something we kind of postponed for a while, but I was telling him about how we were having success going out to the different schools and the different veterans opportunities that we had out in the community. And so what they did was they've changed this year, and they're going to all of the community colleges to host their meetings. So I was just told that they are going to go to Saddleback College on November the 6th. It's hot off the press.
It's in your area.
November 6th, 9 o'clock at Saddleback College. It'll be, they're trying to get the conference room right now. But anyway, it's a done deal. I just got it. So I wanted to make sure that you got a copy of it, okay? But it's nice to know that some of the things that we're doing are passing on, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, so get that. I'll send you a note. If you have any other questions, let me know. But if you can make it, it'd be really nice. All right?
Okay.
Okay, the other thing that I had was that some of you, I got word from some of you that had an email from the county council in regards to our Facebook. And in regards to it coming down.
I got a phone call.
You got a phone call. Okay. Well, I know some other people got emails. And so I'm officially letting you know the Facebook page is down. So the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council no longer has a Facebook page. I did everything I could do to save it, but unfortunately there's some rules that came out in 2010 that I guess in 2019 doesn't work. So anyway, no, nothing more on that, like you and I.
Who made the decision to take it down? Was it from a supervisor?
No, it wasn't. It was from County Council.
County Council.
Yeah. I received a letter and information from Renee, and then the County Council called me and sent me an email to get it taken down.
So there is a process to request a Facebook page, but there's an official process that needs to be followed. Chairman does have the details.
Okay, so we can try to reapply.
We can, if we follow the process there, we can.
Okay. Because Lisa Bartlett, she's for it, so.
Let's discuss the process a little later, because it's deeper than just what Renee's saying, okay? Because I really don't really want to get into it. All I know is I'm sad that it's down, and the process will make it real difficult for us to put it back up.
Okay. So our department, OCCR, has a Facebook page with a page linked to the Veterans Service Office, and we can also post all that information there currently.
Okie dokie.
Anyway, again, there's details of that. I won't go into it now. All right. The other thing we had, we were involved with that. We'll do that down at the comments. Moving right along to Orange County Veterans and Military Family Collaborative update. David?
Come.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Something else. Okay, go ahead. Go.
Yeah, there's so many of us that know what went on, but there was such an excellent meeting hosted at the Oaks Lodge. They considered it their general meeting, and anybody else can chime in after I get my little quick summary, because some of you are more involved than I am. I'm just a participant, but some of you are on the committees, the subcommittees. But it was an idea to have a meeting to discuss the strategic plan for the military collaborative. And it was well attended. In fact, we only had two of our members that weren't there, so I could mention everybody at this table, or we're all there, and Mario and Eric were the two that weren't there. So we broke up when they broke out into working groups, and just had some great information exchange. We were able to participate and listen to the strategies for each of the groups, and kind of get an idea of what was being talked about and how to go forward in each of the areas of employment and behavior, medicine, and education, and all that. So it was absolutely outstanding. I'm sure more is going to come out, but I would invite any of the others of you that attended to tag on to what I just said if you're interested in saying something. But look for more to come out, and I love the fact that we were almost unanimously attended, and I thought it was a good representation of our council that we support them and showed a good attendance. So thanks to all that went, and I'll defer to anybody else if you want to add something to that.
The only thing I would add to it is that it wasn't we were there on our own to be part of the collaborative.
Correct.
And we were in different tables with different individuals and different groups out of the
correct
out of the program. So we weren't there as a meeting, but we had participation in the different areas and different groups that we have.
Yep.
You got your hand up. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was asked to join a group, and I said, I don't know if we do that.
You can join the group, but you can't join the group as the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Richard Lundberg can be on the collaborative to take up an area like
yeah.
you wanted to do in regards to the health. And
I was highly impressed.
In the mental health.
Very glad I attended.
Yeah.
It was just magnificent. And
yep.
what I liked about my table, they started talking about the global issues for the collaborative, not just that one group.
Mm-hmm.
And the one question I thought everybody should ask of all these different organizations, every client, for whatever reason, coming into their location, they should be asked, are you a veteran? And so in the family and children's group, they're going to do that. We're going to try to get that word out to everybody. We need to identify all the veterans we can, including the younger ones. And this could be one of the avenues we could do that way.
All right. Any other comments? Thank you. Okay, the Orange mm-hmm. County Veterans Service Office update. Eddie, what not?
All right.
Eric.
Thank you. Well, before I start with the statistical data, I wanted to just read or share with you letter, one of many letters that Eddie Falcon and myself received from veterans who actually come in to get services at the VSF, who also, while they're waiting to be served, are also observers of what happens on a day-to-day for our office. This is from a Lieutenant Colonel Van Mullen, and he stated he wanted to make sure we firmly understood this letter of excellence that he wanted to submit to us directly what he's observed. To Mr. Eric Ensley and Eddie Falcon, I am writing to compliment you on having an excellent team I've been going to your office 2 to 4 times a year for 3 years to seek help on getting my daughters registered for the VA college benefits I earned and they qualified for. It is no secret that the lines in the office are long. I haven't learned to make an appointment yet. Therefore, I have had plenty of time to observe the workings of your office staff. At first, I would observe to see why in the world the process took so long. I was curious, so I found myself constantly observing the staff. Things like, how well are they handling each customer's issue? How well they work together? Do they know their job? Are they working or procrastinating? Are they efficiently using their time or wasting my time? How do they treat customers? Are they courteous? I have to admit, I am impressed with your team. They know their jobs and they work as hard as and as efficient as a taxpayer would hope they would. They are always friendly, except when a customer deserves to be set straight, then they are appropriately firm. They know they will be backed up by their management, and this helps them handle the occasional sticky situation. I am very satisfied with the service I have received each and every time. I've found the team works very well together and has a lot of team cohesion. I'm writing this letter because I know how hard it is to maintain a good team. You as managers deserve to be complimented on this team. Please pass this compliment on to your teammates. The staff I have worked closely with over the years are Sonia, Jessica, and currently Nancy and Teresa, which are our office technicians who are the first point of contact for our office. I'm a retired lieutenant colonel. During my career, I was especially well known for my team building skills. I was constantly selected for very important jobs where the team wasn't working at top efficiency. I'm very proud of the success my teams achieved during my career. And I was signed from Mr. Douglas Van Mullen, lieutenant colonel with the Army. I chose this particular case because I was out and about quite a bit, observing what was happening in the lobby, trying to talk to our consumers who were waiting, trying to be served. And I asked what he was waiting for. We had submitted a college fee waiver on behalf of the veteran, and his name was misspelled. Not by us, it was what was on the application. He waited for about 2 hours to be served, and when I talked to him, I said, why are you waiting this long to just have this corrected? And he's like, well, I just wanted to sit and wait. And he acknowledged the busy volume that he observed through the course of the day. So as we talk about our wait times, there are a lot of things that happen in the Veteran Service Office that are behind the scenes. And I know that we are often under the gun to try and minimize the work times. I think that's always a work in process, and we're always looking at continuous process improvements on how to do that. But to hear comments like this, I think is a testament to why we come to work every day and do this work and work strategically to try and minimize those wait times. But a lot of different things do play a factor in that. A lot of it is trying to correct things that were either overlooked by the consumer themselves or just addressing the nuances between someone's individual claim. I know previously we mentioned the changes in law regarding appeals that also had an impact on how claims were actually submitted to the federal VA. Those things, as we've looked at, Eddie and myself, have been a large contributing cause to our wait times. Currently, our wait times are going up. They are 83 minutes for this month, so they went down from previous months. But I think that it will ebb and flow through the course of our day-to-day routine when we serve clients in the community. The other side of that, the college fee waiver, we're currently beta testing our automation process, which I think is going to really expedite during our high season college fee waiver completions and getting letters out. Just recently did 3 of them just before this meeting, and it took 5 minutes when it ordinarily would take about 15 to 20 minutes per claim. I don't know what that is, but it works.
Questions? Just looking at your sheet here, so it went up 31 minutes from last year.
Wow. It did.
Wow.
But also our total number of people served have also increased by at least 25%.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's...
Oh, yeah. I see that. Yeah. Okay. And I get it. I just you were talking about the time. I just looked at it. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Any more comments?
I have one.
Okay.
The difference in phone calls, why is that? It's a significant difference.
Well, I think as people get access or better access to information as to what the county does or what the county veteran service office does, they're increasingly trying to make appointments. We're currently scheduling appointments as far out as January. We have nearly a full complement of staff, six service officers, with two of them who are seeing just as many as our more seasoned veteran service officers currently. So, you know, a lot of it is the fact that, you know, people want to get appointments. They want to come in. They don't want to wait. As Lieutenant Colonel Mullen has mentioned, people are very reluctant to sometimes schedule appointments and they would rather walk in. But we are seeing equally as many people calling to make appointments. Unfortunately for us, we have a call center who's fielding those appointments and we're able to get them scheduled.
So you see that as a good thing? All those
calls. I do.
Yeah.
I think those, and they're going to go up. I have very expectation that they will increase. We're looking to meet that demand.
Right. And just add, in addition, we have a full-time outreach person going out and doing outreach. You can see last year we had one outreach event in the month of September, and we did four this month.
Yeah.
So we're doing one a week.
So
we're seeing the increase in people contacting the office based on being out in the community.
Super.
Thank you.
Any more comments? Thank you. Very good. OC for Vets, Kevin.
We have had a major bump. We saw, we made over 230 contacts over this past month. So that's a target situation. Again, just like our VSO partners, we see the increase there, so we get the increased flow from both sides. And we've had an increased presence in the community doing outreach events and doing street outreach. We also had our behavioral health summit, our annual behavioral health summit, in collaboration with the collaborative. And that went over very, very well. We had over 400 attendees at the event. So it was
really good for you.
Yeah,
wow.
It was a significant increase. Last year we were at about 200, 250. And this year we're over 400.
Almost doubled, yeah.
Yeah, it was very successful. And on top of that, I'll follow you late. I'll talk about a success story that we experienced this month. Actually, not just us. Our partners at CalVet, some of our community partners, the DOA, and one of our shelters, I won't announce which one publicly, but we had a gentleman we were working with, an elderly gentleman, problems with mobility, medically frail. He'd been living in our shelter for over 2 years. The shelter was struggling with supporting his needs. I won't get into what those needs were, but it wasn't always pretty. It was very uncomfortable for the veteran and difficult for the staff who were trying to support him. Our goal, we came in, they contacted us, we made contact the first time about 6 months ago. They've been struggling for over a year to try to find a place for this gentleman to stay. He had a HUD-DASH voucher in the past, so he had housing. He lost it as a result of his inability to take care of his home because of his medical issues and because of his conditions. There were some cognitive deficits as well. So he was struggling all around. About 6 months ago, started the application for assisted living through CalVet and through other resources. I reached out to our partner at CalVet. Ben was amazingly supportive. As of last week, technically as of Tuesday this week, he is officially out of the shelter and in a CalVet home.
Wow.
safe, there's medical needs for this. This was a lot of work by, you know, all of our community partners. It happened because we were working together as a community, and we didn't have one team just trying to do it all alone. Like, it wasn't going to happen. It's just one team. So.
Comments? Questions? Thank you. Okay. Next up, the local interagency network coordinator, Ben Gales.
Interesting title. It is amazing. I mean, the gentleman Kevin spoke about, five or six agencies working on that. And it was Kevin really deserved a lot of credit for his leadership on that. I really didn't do all that much on that, to be honest with you. But really everyone played a role in that. It's great. Carlos, to echo some of your thoughts, I think that general meeting and the collaborative, one thing that made it so outstanding to me was you look at all the reports offered by every committee was the specificity of the ideas, right? You always worry about these collaborative meetings, just kind of everyone gets together and just kind of talks around and stuff, but there's a lot of specific, ideas that are going to be followed up with, especially with UCI and Jeff Pagano being able to have a position to organize that collaborative. I think I agree with your sentiments and everyone else. A lot of good things to come from that. And then, Eric, certainly just to echo that letter. I mean, for someone that has a chance to come into the office and see the professionalism that you guys have and the commitment, it's outstanding. What I want to do today, actually, I guess we're going to have our guest speaker. I was going to kind of follow up on whatever he was going to present to talk about veterans in the criminal justice system. I think I'd like to talk about that for a little bit anyway. It's something I had a chance to work on a lot when I did work with veterans in Los Angeles before I had a chance to join CalVet in Orange County. So I thought I would kind of touch on some of the issues there.
How much time do you need? 5 minutes? You got it.
Veteran pods, it's certainly not a new concept, but it's fantastic that Orange County is going to do this. I mean, L.A. has pods, too, and I visited them. It's not a highly complex, system in terms of what it's designed to do. I mean, in many ways, it's really about creating a service environment within a jail, and there's really kind of two ways in which pod and veteran awareness can have an important role in the criminal justice system, okay? So one is on the front end. When a veteran is facing charges, okay, it's very important that a veteran is identified as a veteran because that is the only way they can benefit from the veteran-specific California Penal Code statutes that provide for alternative sentencing for veterans. So that's 1170.9 of the Penal Code and 1001.80 of the Penal Code. And so those statutes give incredible benefits to veterans facing criminal charges whose crimes may relate to their mental health issues, other substance abuse, or other issues, traumatic brain injury, or whatnot. So the biggest battle that people that work on this face is identification. Just letting veterans know about the statutes, making sure their lawyers know, whether it's a public defender or a private attorney. And so this veteran pod, by having the chance, to identify veterans in the system, can play a really important role with that. And then the second, side of helping veterans in the jails is, it's after they've been convicted, if in fact they've been sentenced, to be in a jail, to be able to work with them, to bring in service providers, the same service providers that help our veterans on the outside in Orange County. I think we will work to integrate them into that system. And so it's just one more path of finding veterans and helping them with whatever they need. And at that collaborative meeting, actually, Justice Eileen Moore, you all remember, made a very nice presentation on behalf of the Legal and Reentry Committee of the Collaborative, talking about some of the issues. And, one thing that we're going to do to follow up with that is I'm working with Veterans Legal Institute and Kevin, OC for Vets, and I think Justice Moore, and we're going to organize a training for the community that's going to help educate anyone that's interested, whether you're a lawyer or a service provider, on issues related to criminal justice and veterans, so that if a veteran comes in and presents a criminal justice issue, you have some sense of how to approach it. And this stuff is out there. And sometimes veterans aren't necessarily forthcoming to talk about it. And that's happened to me in a couple of cases where I've actually, just through conversation with a veteran, discovered they had a criminal justice issue, and I was able to advise them on next steps. So the key is helping the community understand if you have a veteran that presents that issue, where do you refer them? It's the number one issue. what are the main resources they need to understand? You know, the VA has a significant program called the Veteran Justice Outreach Program, and these are social workers employed by the VA that navigate between the courts and the jails and services. And so they're kind of the go-between that can help make the links that are needed. And understanding, too, make sure your public defender knows about the statutes. Make sure they know something about veterans. So all that kind of education work will continue. But this is a great first step. You know, the sheriff wants to do this. And I think, ideally, you know, coming here today is a good idea because they need to be exposed and become integrated with the community.
You got a couple minutes left. Thank you. No, fine. Thank you for that. That's cool. Yeah, because I remember the whole thing when she was talking, and but you guys had your little group over there, but it was nice to have her there. And she's been, Judge Justice Eileen Moore has been a real big proponent for this, along with VLI.
So. Oh, one more thing I can just remind you of.
Okay.
I got two more minutes. I like that. You know, one amendment.
You got to give them two more minutes.
Amendment to California Penal Code Statute 1170.9. It's 1170.91. And it's a really important thing to know about. It allows, and this just became effective in 2019, if you're a veteran and you are sentenced and to be incarcerated, and it's determined that during your hearing, that your mental health issues weren't considered for the potential to give you alternative sentencing, you can actually have another hearing. You can be taken out of the jail or prison and be given another hearing, and if it's found that your crimes are connected to mental health or whatever you want to call it, PTSD, TBI, MST, that you can get alternative sentencing. So Justice Moore is working with VLI and UC Irvine Law School on a project to help find lawyers that can identify these veterans in the jails. To use this statute. It's pretty amazing stuff.
Good. Comments? Thank you. Okay, communications report. Council Member David.
I don't really have anything to report.
Okay. The Events Committee. Council Member Hahn.
Mr. Chairman, there are... Okay, so taking a look at Orange County, there are a lot of veteran organizations, and as the events chair, we get a lot of events that are sent to us, and I put them on the schedule, but a lot of them are just events where you go and, you know, maybe eat something, get a report, listen to a brief, that sort of thing. So what I've been trying to do is add additional things, because there are, like I said, there are a lot of veteran organizations. Some of them are activity-based, some of them are social-based. So I've been trying to incorporate those into our calendar as well, since the calendar is really intended for veterans as well, not just for our use. So I've been adding things like Go Rock events, Team Red, White, and Blue events, or the Mission Continues events. So, you know, I put the events on the calendar for everyone's awareness, and it's up to the council members to take a look and see what the events are, and if they choose to go and attend, that's great. That being said, I'll just go over some of the events that are coming up real quick.
Okay.
Buena Park, from the 18th to the 20th, is having Silverado Days. I know some of the veteran organizations are going to be out there, like the VFW, American Legion as well. On the 22nd, we've got the Veterans Employment Committee meeting. Also on the 22nd at 3:30 p.m., we have the Regional Military Affairs Committee meeting at Joint Forces Training Base. From Team Red, White, and Blue, on the 26th of October, there's a kayaking event in Newport Bay. That should be a great one. I'd love to be able to go. I can't make it then. And then on the 30th, there's the Veteran Leaders and Innovation Conference at Irvine Valley College.
Yes. Well, that's the one by Nancy Montgomery. Yes.
If I can get out of that date. And then in November, there are a lot of events, obviously, since it's going to be Veterans Day and also the Marine Corps birthday coming up.
Yeah.
Raw.
Rock.
Okay, so the 2nd of November, we've got the AUSA Bowling Fundraiser. That's from 4 to 6 p.m. in Fountain Valley.
Hosted by USA.
AUSA, yes, yeah. Understood that. Thank you. Let's see, from the 5th to the 9th of November at Los Alamitos Race Course, they're having honoring our vets through the races. And then on the 9th, they'll actually have a ceremony and recognize some veterans in the community. On the 6th, got an evening with Marine One Network. So some of the pilots of Marine One throughout the, I think, several presidents. Some of those pilots will be there. That'll be at the Lincoln Experience Center in Newport Beach.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And then on the 6th of November, the city of Buena Park has a Veterans Honor Walk. That's at the Ehlers Event Center in Buena Park. On the 7th, we've got the 244th Marine Corps Birthday Cake Cutting Ceremony, the VA Long Beach Healthcare System. When they originally sent it out, they sent it out with the wrong date, and it said October instead of November, so I called them just to clarify, because that just did not make sense. It was closer to the Navy birthday than the Marine Corps birthday.
Aren't they the same?
No, heck no. That's the sister service you're talking about. Sorry. Also, let's see, on the 10th of...
Yes. He fell out the airplane. Okay. Mm-hmm.
On the 10th of November, the Santa Ana Elks Lodge is... the Spirit of Hope for Orange County Anniversary Gala for the Bob Hope USO.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Will be at the Santa Ana Elks Lodge. Tickets are kind of expensive for that one.
Yeah, but that's at the new place. That's the new one over on Lion Street.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, on the 10th, get the Veterans Day Community Celebration at Heroes Hall.
I'll go into that in a second.
Okay. And then I'll go into, there are, let's see, Anaheim has their Veterans Day celebration on the 11th. Brea is on the 11th. Dana Point is on the 11th. Fullerton is hosting theirs on the 11th as well at Fullerton College Quad. The city of Huntington Beach, Irvine, Laguna Niguel, La Habra, Orange, and Stanton. I'm sorry. So they all have events on the 11th.
Mission Viejo.
That's it, sir.
Mission Viejo, sir.
Oh, Mission Viejo as well? I don't have that one.
I'm the guest speaker.
Mayor? Mayor, no one sent that one to me.
Send the information.
My fault.
No, but we need to have it, because at least it's on there. Yeah, it's on the list, so we've got it. Okay. Yeah.
There's one event that I just emailed over to you that I wanted to...
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. A group called Care Possible provides scholarships to veterans in need of substance use treatment and behavioral support when other resources aren't available. They have a fundraising event that they've done for the past 6 years that's usually a very nice event. It's coming up on November 2nd at 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
So I sent that out to us.
Okay. All right.
There's one more, and I got the details, but Jose, you want to tell us about the other one? You've got?
Yes. Thank you, Chairman. Congressman Correa and the city of Garden Grove are going to be joining forces to have a fourth and maybe final Vietnam Veteran Pinning Ceremony on the 11th at 8 o'clock right outside the firehouse in Garden Grove right next to City Hall. So we'll have that there at 8 o'clock on the 11th.
So 8 a.m. or?
A.m., yes.
You have a flyer on that yet?
We don't, but we're just getting it.
Okay.
Hopefully up at the end of this week, and we'll distribute it.
Okay, very good. So that's 8 p.m. when?
8 a.m.
8.
Yeah.
8 a.m.
Yeah, I know. I got a muster at 8 o'clock. Yeah, firehouse.
0800 as opposed to 2100.
Yeah, back in the crash crew again. Yeah, okay, yeah. All right. Did we get everybody's stuff for Veterans Day? Okay. You got anything else?
That's it, sir.
Thank you. All right, Mr. David, we'll start down there with you and comments.
I just wanted to follow up on that bowling, the AUSA bowling thing. We had the golf tournament last month, and made money for our family programs for veterans and military folks that are in crisis and emergency needs, and we made $8,000 with a very small group of people at Alta Vista Country Club. And this bowling is also designed to feed that family programs fund for both military and veterans. So if you want to go to the AUSA website, and I think you have it on there, is go and register and have fun. It's five person teams, and it's all patriotic, and it's a lot of fun. So I would encourage you to help us put money into that family programs event for the Association of the U.S. Army.
Would you do me a favor for the
so that's only Army, right?
Hey, would you tell them where the money goes and how it's spent?
Yeah, the emergency fund is it's a vetted program that we get nominations from the units, from the military units, and from veterans organizations for folks that need emergency housing, emergency, and even those folks that have gotten vouchers through all the different programs. We augment that if they can't pay their car payment or they're living in their car and they need a hotel for a short amount of stay. It's a really good program. It's private, because we're a nonprofit, and the Associated U.S. Army is available to give those funds based upon recommendations from commanders and from veterans organizations. So it's an absolute great program that gets money in the hands of people very quickly. So the Association U.S. Army, and so anything we can do to support that is always welcome.
And the caveat to that, usually the money goes to the, not to the person, but to the place.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, that's a very good distinction. It's
Thank
not
you.
Money handed to someone that might, we're not taking the responsibility away from that person, but we're helping them to be responsible by paying their rent or pay their car payment directly, as opposed to giving the money to them and letting it be misused if possible. Yeah.
Is there a application or referral process?
There is on the website, and or just contact me, and then I can get it in the right hands.
Okay.
So I just wanted to know
Thank
where the dollars
asking.
Were.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Frank.
Well, you're more than welcome, sir.
That's all I got.
Mr. Richard. Oh, no, I'll come back to you. Mr. Richard.
Yes.
I'll come back to the mayor. Go ahead.
About what?
Comments.
Oh, okay. No, we've covered most everything. I'm continuing to work on my what I call the flyer program.
Yeah.
And the big umbrella of thought here, the meme, is how do we get a hold of all these people? So I think what I'm thinking about is going to work, so I'll continue with that. That's
okay.
What I like to say. Scott.
Okay.
I have a question for him.
Sure.
How did your meeting go, since I wasn't able to make it?
I'm sorry, what?
How did your meeting go with the supervisor?
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah, we had a meeting with Supervisor Dole, and Dale was there, and Mario. Just a meet and greet, get to know the individual. He's the one that appointed me. I'd never met him. And so we asked what we were doing, and each of us talked about specifics, like my little flyer program. He was very interested in that and took notes. talked about the website. We need a little work on that. He's got to work on that himself.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. So a thought that came out of the meeting was that we should all maybe meet with every supervisor, so they know who we are. We want to know what their expectations are and get them some direct input instead of secondhand. I thought that would be good. So I would recommend it.
Can I add a comment to it? Because I found it interesting, because you were able to give me a card that you were able to get through the supervisor business cards. And since I spoke to Ophelia,
mm-hmm,
about those cards, and for those that you're at large just like I am, so I have to come to the supervisor in which I live. So maybe we can combine and go and see what we can do about talking to Supervisor Bartlett and see if we can do something, and each one of us gets those cards, because they really look nice. They're really good professional business cards.
You can do that. Sure, Hawkins.
Thank you.
He's the chairman.
Yeah.
Dale. I saw you waving.
Nice.
Were you trying? Were you push?
No.
Oh, you
no,
got a card. Okay.
Card.
Yeah.
The collaborative meeting that we went to was, I thought, was really informative and worthwhile, and I learned a lot from that. And I was sitting at the housing because that's kind of my interest and my expertise more than anything. And so I learned a lot about what's going on in the housing. I thought that was fabulous. I am glad to hear that our representative, Korea, is going to do something in the city of Garden Grove. I had talked to my city councilman, Kim Nguyen, who had, I guess at one time, had been on Korea's staff, and she was going to help push it forward. So at least there'll be some inaugural representation of Veterans Day in the city of Garden Grove, which had never been done before. So I'm looking forward to that. And I have another issue that I think is going to be rather controversial, and it's been brought up in this committee, but it's this meeting time. And I would like us to discuss it, and I've talked to Mario, and he's going to have issues coming at this time of day, and why we have to have our meetings at 11 o'clock. So if the board, if this committee would be interested in agendizing it and looking into it, okay. I think it would be a good idea, at least occasionally, to have our meetings out in the public so the veterans can have access to us and see what's going on.
Is are you going to call me to agendize it, or is Mario going to call me to agendize it?
If I have to call you, I will.
Well, I'm just asking. You can okay. ask me now if you like.
Okay, I'd like to agendize it and put it on the meeting for a discussion.
Okay, gotcha.
I know I have the support of several of the supervisors that they agree.
Okay.
So anyway, that could be something for a future meeting too.
Right,
for us
Thank
to discuss
you.
Having our meetings like they used to be. I don't understand. I know a couple of our members, they weren't at the collaborative, they're not here today, and that's the reason why. It's because of this time frame.
Very good. I'll make sure that happens.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll look forward to getting Mario's call.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No, I'm done.
Right, well, good enough. Good kind, sir?
Nothing, sir.
All right. Mr. Mayor.
Yes, a couple of good news stories. I was at Orange Coast College talking to young Republicans. I thought there'd be five or six people there. It's packed. And in the group, there's like six veterans. And they couldn't say enough about the Veterans Service Center here, how well they're doing. And a couple shout-outs to Lou Correa. A couple of the veterans said he really helped them out. So even though the Republicans, you know, Lou's great for veterans, we love them, and these guys are great, and helping them.
Help a veteran out, man.
Help a veteran,
There's no R&D in the
right,
foxhole.
Exactly.
Right. All right. On flight deck, neither.
No, they just love Lou for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a good guy. So. Thank you. And I just want, I told him I'd share that when I saw you, and let the congressman know.
Good.
Thank you. Also, in our city, we had a homeless vet. He was 87, living in his van behind Home Depot, and we were able to help him out. And a church took his van and let him stay in his van at this church parking lot. We were able to get him an apartment in Garden Grove, and Patriot Paws is going to furnish the whole thing. So, and then we brought him here to work on a claim.
Good.
And, so it's just good to see what this group does. And all the collaborative and all the people out there, even faith-based groups to help veterans. So I just want to share those good stories.
Good story to share.
And I think we got a good group here. Since I've been on this council, I think this is the best it's ever been. Must be the leadership.
You're the mayor. You're the mayor.
All right, all yours.
Okay, a couple things, and then I'll get you out of here. I had the opportunity about 3 weeks ago to go to Dallas and be part of the first National Minority Veterans Summit. And some of the issues that we're talking about now, especially one you just brought up that we were going to have on policing and stuff, they had a whole workshop just on that. I brought just one copy of the book, which was We Are One. We had over 700 veterans and about 250 VA employees and stuff there. So close to 1,000, somewhere up there, you know, simple math. But and it was a 3-day event, so the VA people met on Thursday, and then the veterans were there on Friday and Saturday with the classes and the presentations, and the deputy secretary came in and spoke, and of course, I got to tell you this funny one. So he's up there making all these comments, and he made a comment, and nobody said anything. He said, well, I figured there's some Army Marine guys out there, go ahead and give me, where's the hoo-ah, whatever. So the whole room did that. And then he looked down and he says, okay, and all the Air Force guys, just nod. I thought that was pretty humorous. And the guy that's helped putting this on, the deputy director, is a colonel in the Air Force, and as his boss up there said, you know, nod. You know, so anyway, you have to have been there to appreciate it, but that's okay. But the bottom line is, it was, I've got the book and I'll pass it around to you guys, but it was the first time in the history of the VA that they've ever done this. And it was nice to be part of that the process. And all I can tell you is when I left, a couple of people said, you know, we'd love to come to California. And I said, I know a place. Okay. Anyway, be that as it may, it was good, a lot of knowledge. It was great to have the trucks there. They had two or three rooms so that if veterans that came up, which came all the way up from Houston and actually as far as Oklahoma and stuff to that effect came, they had a chance to get their paperwork looked at, stuff to that effect, because they had the computers and all that stuff on base there. And of course, a lot of exhibitors too. So it was good. The other thing is I kind of, two other things. We had the big birthday party for the Navy last Friday at Heroes Hall, which went over pretty well. We had about 50 people. It's hotter than hell. But we had Andrea Marr, who was a city councilwoman at Costa Mesa, who was a Naval Academy graduate. The surprise for me of the day was Nick Philippone, who is over at Disneyland, and he is the chairman of the veterans group at Disneyland. He showed up, and he was a Naval Academy graduate, so it was nice to hear the interchange of 05 and 83. Yeah.
The big rings.
Yeah, all the big rings, all that. So it was pretty nice to have that. And then we had the chairman of the board and CEO of the Southern California Gas Company, Brett Lane, who happened to was a lieutenant in the Seabees. So, so they made a nice donation to Heroes Hall. So as I segue from that, we get a chance to do the last birthday. So we did all four of the birthdays so far at Heroes Hall. And the next one is on the 9th at Heroes Hall. And we're going to do a big three-bit celebration. We're going to celebrate the Marine Corps birthday on the 9th. No, I got some cough medicine in the car.
No, we're fine. Okay. Keep
right.
talking.
Okay. Not the cough. And we're going to do the regular Veterans Day program with the food bank and raising the food and that. And then we're also going to do the dedication. For those of you that haven't gone by a Civic Center yet or over where the county seat is, you'll notice that the A4 is gone. Okay, and I think Renee had a little something to do with that, and probably a lot to do with it. But the A4 now is going to be dedicated over at Heroes Hall. And we're going to have all three of those programs going that day, Saturday. And so that's what's going to happen there.
What time is the thing on the 9th?
That's a good question. Usually starts at 10. Yeah, but I don't have I have the flyer.
10 a.m. to 2.
Okay. 10 to 2. See, that's why we have the calendar. Thank you, buddy. And I think that's about it. I'm glad that you guys are going out there. Please try to go on Veterans Day to go to one of the events in your area, or maybe two if you can. Pick up a flyer or whatever the case may be, a little program, so we can get it to David, so we can get a chance to put it together for the year in review.
Yeah, that's a good one. Remember the VEEP forms. Just shoot me a little summary of it and a picture. That'd be helpful.
VEEP, I thought it was beer.
Beer, that's what I said. That's the right one.
Yeah. Yeah. See, now you're going to hit him and say, that's the Army thing. Yeah, the game slippage. Yeah, okay, yeah, I get it. Yeah, okay. All right, if there's nothing else to come before the group, I want to thank you all to come, and thank you. So, with that, meeting adjourned.
All righty, good job. Right. Chairman, good job.
On the 22nd of October.
Yes.
Carl, where are you on the 22nd of October? You have a meeting.